This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Kondorian Murad, the official G&D show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will and trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com and mention the show to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We got ourselves a winner for the Nats opening day tickets. Who am I? We were C.J. Abrams.
We were C.J. Abrams that time.
Congratulations to our winner. Two tickets to Nats opening day, April 1st, here in Nats Park in D.C. against the Pirates. First 20,000 fans on opening day are going to get a reversible bucket hat. Pre-game festivities include an appearance by the world-famous Budweiser Clydesdales, red carpet player intros, live music, face painters, balloon twisters, and so much more. All gates open on opening day at 2 o'clock. We are 1 week away.
It's all happening, my friends. Real baseball on Thursday. Nats will be on the ROAD, and then they'll come back home. So you get kind of like a little double bonus, right? Your first day of baseball on Thursday, and then we'll do it here in Washington on Monday.
Speaking of Thursday, join us March 28th as we broadcast live from Rudy's Golf Sports Bar in Kingstown ahead of opening day for the Nats. This is their road opener. This is the big opening day, the number one. I prefer the home opener, but you get the gist. Double-deck driving range, top tracer tech, two putt-putt courses, full restaurant. No better way to kick off a baseball season than out and about. So we'll be in the heated bays driving golf balls during breaks and hanging out with you in the full bar and restaurant at Rudy's.
Do we get exclusive access to the Clydesdales or as the Nationals and as Nationals fans? Or are there multiple Clydesdales that go to multiple opening days? Do we know that?
It's a good question.
Wow, they're at
Nats Park every single year.
Yeah, I feel like we always have them. So are they just a Nats Park thing? Are we just that special? I think that's cool.
Damn, dude. Yeah. I actually don't really answer that.
Deep cut. I've met them. They walk around the Navy Yard every year and pass out presents. And I've been there before when they do that. I'm going to assume there's Clydesdales in every market, right? Budweiser Clydesdales? Or are there just a handful of
them? Or these are the Budweiser Clydesdales. Like this group of Clydesdales right here. It's not like a regional Clydesdale network where it's like, Your Kansas City's Clydesdales. You guys are Arlington, Texas's Clydesdales. You're Minnesota's Clydesdales. You don't think? You think there are 30-some sets of Clydesdales that represent Budweiser? I don't know, man. It's not like a mall Santa.
I think there's probably a lot of Clydesdales all over the country.
In the world, yeah. But are they Budweiser Clydesdales?
I think they are. There's probably Budweiser Clydesdales. They're going to be at opening day everywhere.
Like, I feel like St. Louis has them. That's where... HQ is.
So if you're saying St. Louis has them and D.C. has them, Cleveland can't have them? They can't have them in San Diego?
I don't think they can.
L.A.?
Mm-mm.
Only two markets?
Yeah.
See, if they definitely have them in St. Louis and you feel good about that.
Because I've seen them there.
Now I'm sure that they're everywhere. Because if you're going to have multiple markets, then why would you just stop at two? you got to have them everywhere.
You have duly designated representatives of Budweiser as the Clydesdales.
But we have the best version. We have the best Clydesdales.
I think so.
I think. That's always how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play Tom Pelissero real quick. I want to get into McCarthy and hit the phones. 800-636-1067. Tom Pelissero's plugged in like a toaster. He's at the meetings in Orlando. People are telling him they think Peters goes J.J. McCarthy number two for the Commanders.
It's been really interesting because everybody's always trying to figure out, especially at the top of the draft, what the other teams are doing. When I've had conversations here with executives for other teams who know Adam Peters well, know the situation well, the most popular answer for what they do at number two is J.J. McCarthy.
Question for you guys is, if they take McCarthy, could you be okay with that? For me, absolutely, I would have no problems with that. I would be surprised. I'm betting against it. My guess is they like Jaden Daniels more than McCarthy. My guess is they like Drake May more than McCarthy. I don't know why they wouldn't like those two guys more. I think this is smoke and there's not flames with this. This, to me also, just to reiterate, is not a report that Peters likes McCarthy as much as people that know Peters think he might like McCarthy, which is essentially nothing. And somebody told me, and I didn't see the rest of the report, but that right after that, Garofalo said that he thinks Washington goes Daniels, which is what I'm saying and what you're saying. For the record, though, I mean, Pelissero right now, he's been on a heater this offseason. He's basically catching Rappaport, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of the insiders for NFL Network. Like, he's getting a lot of stuff, a lot of stories, super plugged in. So I'll take his information over just about anybody on that network right now. But again, he's not saying, I know what he's doing.
Well-placed sources have said, yeah.
These people think that, based on Peter's past, look out for McCarthy number two. It's not a nothing burger, but it's not a lot to me.
Yeah, it's more than zero, but it's not a 10. I see your point. And that's kind of where I am on it as well. It's a logical conclusion, which means it's a logical conclusion based on Peters's previous stops, you know, the school he's come from, so to speak, what's been successful, what's failed in organizations that he's been in. Again, I think that Lance example, I think, is a huge one, right, where we're going, I don't want that type of quarterback anymore. I don't want a guy that's, you know, more athletic than he is refined. This is the guy that kind of makes sense to me. The human joystick, sort of the extension of the coach on the field that's going to do exactly what he's told to do, which mostly is handed off.
I'm surprised that you wouldn't be annoyed if they take him. That stuns me. Is that because you like Adam Peters a lot?
Yeah, it's because...
What if Rivera was still here and they took McCarthy?
I'd lose it. I'd have lost it.
Okay, so it is basically an endorsement of the process.
Far more based on Peters. And the reason I brought up the Martin Mayhew example previously is they've already done something that pisses me off every day. There's still nowhere near enough deposits in the bank for me to start going, they're clueless, they don't know what they're doing. It took a couple of years of that with Rivera, where I realized after the second offseason, these boobs are completely overmatched and overwhelmed.
But you just are so out on McCarthy as a prospect. I would have assumed that too with Daniels and May on the board that you'd have been angry. But are we at a point with Peters where it really doesn't matter what he does, you're not going to be angry? Can I go that far?
We're closer to that than maybe we should. Again, I've disagreed with certain things. For example, we did a topic last week. What would you have done differently? I'd have signed Tyron Smith for a year. I'd have won the bidding war to make sure I had a left tackle.
But that's so different than picking a quarterback at two.
No, I understand that. I guess my point is they're not above me disagreeing with them.
Sure.
I would disagree with that move. I would say that's not the move I would have made. Okay.
But do you have the next gear? Like, disagreeing with them is normal. Do you have a gear where you'd go, hey, just so you know, I hate what you just did and it's wrong? Or you're not going to go that far?
Not yet. Okay. It'll take some failure. It'll take success for the other guys, too.
I think most people are in that boat.
Yeah, I mean, when, you know, if Jaden Daniels is rookie of the year, if he does a C.J. Stroud in his first stop, and McCarthy's plotting, if you make enough mistakes, I start going, you lost the benefit of the doubt for me. They're nowhere near that yet.
Let's go to Mark, who's in Rockville on GND. What's up, Mark? How are you?
Good. Hey, great show, guys.
Thanks.
I had two theories. One, I read that Josh Harris has been enamored with J.J. McCarthy from sitting in on the interviews, first the combine and then before pro day or after pro day when they had dinner. So I didn't think it was a big deal that Harris was sitting in on the interviews at first. Like, I agreed with you, Grant. But I think it's possible that maybe he's weighing in heavily on this, and Peters is preparing us for the fact that they might take McCarthy.
Now, well, why do you think he's weighing in? What's the tie there between he and McCarthy?
I mean, who knows other than the fact that, like, he, you know, is enamored with him from the interviews and has heard enough from people around him that I would think that, like, either Kingsbury or Peters or Quinn has to be very pro-McCarthy for him to go along with that, too. I think if all three of them were in consensus on one of them, I don't think that he would go against that. But I think if they're split, then I think that Harris could absolutely weigh in. You know, would it be like Dan Snyder-like with Haskins? I doubt it. Like, I don't think he would overrule them. But I think there's disagreement that – but anyway, I think that's the less likely scenario. I think more likely, Drake May a couple of months ago was – a lot of people had him up with Caleb Williams. But the last month, I've heard so much criticism of May from people like Chris Sims, who has him as the sixth quarterback. Dan Orlovsky is now saying he's got to sit a year or two. Louis Riddick has been pretty critical of him. So I think that it's possible that teams do like McCarthy more. And
he's definitely, look, one of them is getting more love now, but I think part of that is prospect fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Drake May went into the draft last year as a beloved kind of top of the board pick. And this is how it happens largely. Whereas McCarthy has never really even been viewed as a first half of the first round guy. I remember watching Michigan in the middle of this season. And on one of the telecasts, they were suggesting he might go in the first round, you know, the way the season was going. And now we're talking about him at 1-2, you know, at second overall. I can't answer the what's going on with the Drake May viewing because I don't understand it. I don't get it. People have their own opinions, whether it's Kurt Warner I saw, Chris Sims. You can find people who love Drake May, too. There's plenty of people that do the draft for a living. We've had some of them on the show who said Drake May's their number one or their number two. I mean, so the opinions differ, but I don't get it. For me, when I'm looking at prospects, what do I want? I want a big-bodied athlete who stands in the pocket and makes big-time throws. And I think that describes Drake May. He was not on a particularly good team with talent around him that was very pedestrian. His performance at times wavered. I'm not drafting him based on how he performed at North Carolina. I'm forecasting ahead. But I don't get that he's got to sit for a year or two thing. I think that's ridiculous. I don't really understand how anyone would rank him sixth in this draft class. I think that's preposterous. If you want to tell me you like Jaden Daniels more, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
50 touchdowns, 4 picks in the SEC and the Heisman Trophy winner, I get it. If you want to tell me that J.J. McCarthy is like a more polished, ready guy who played in the pro-style offense he did under Jim Harbaugh, developed pro quarterbacks over the last 20 years, yeah, okay. He might be more ready right away. But I don't get people that are essentially now that this idea that Drake May is some project and you know the team that gets him is going to have to sit him makes no sense to me.
Yeah, the variance on a prospect isn't crazy, especially somebody towards the top of the board. You're going to see that with a quarterback because, you know, he threw the ball, what is it, 430 sometimes, 500 plus the years before. You'll find whatever you want to find. You could go through all the cut-ups and these guys that do it for a living do and say, look at these three throws. Oh, how could you draft someone this high? Look at these five throws. He should be the first overall pick. That's normal. That's reasonable. The thing that you and I have come back to a bunch of times, and I don't want to speak for you, but the thing that I've been really surprised by is this, like that Chris Sims style ranking, for lack of a better way to put it. The so completely out on the guy. You know what I mean? The like undraftable. This guy stinks. He's terrible. You'd have to sit him if you want him. And even then, it's no guarantee. That's the part that I've been befuddled by, right? The way I've tried to explain it to people is, if you give me a choice, I'd probably take Daniels. Not even probably. I would take Daniels. But if Daniels didn't exist, I would sprint that car right up the podium and take Drake May and never think twice about it because, as you mentioned, the starter skill set is there, the body type, the arm strength, the accuracy, the toughness in the pocket, and a sneaky athleticism that people don't really give him credit for in terms of scrambling.
I don't think it's that sneaky. I mean, I think it explodes when you watch. Like, the dude...
Well, because I guess...
He's white. You know, sneaky but athletic.
So, yeah, I didn't mean it that way. I guess more the, like, people, like, because Daniels ran for 1,100 yards and, like, double-digit touchdowns.
Sure.
So, because Drake May is not that, they don't think of him in the way that he should be thought of in terms of scrambling and athleticism.
He's not going to lead the league in rushing.
Right.
But, I mean, he had 40-plus scrambles for first down on third and fourth down the last couple of years. Daniels had 20-some. You know, him and Williams combined had a couple more than Drake May had by himself. He is actively watch him.
Moves around real well.
He runs a lot. You know, they do designed runs. I mean, I think most of the people that are talking about him online have never watched him play. I think that's part of the issue, number one. Now, when you talk about people that actually analyze the draft for a living, they obviously have. And these people are smarter than I am. I don't know what I don't know, but I give Chris Sims or Kurt Warner or, fill-in-the-blank analyst, whether it's Lewis Riddick or someone else, I give them way more credibility than I would give myself watching. But I'd love to ask them and be like, what am I missing, man? When I watch this, this looks like Herbert. I see some Josh Allen traits here. I'm not telling you he's better than Jaden Daniels, but what am I seeing that I'm getting wrong? The other thing is, in terms of like what surprises you about this process, I got two of them. The thing you just mentioned with May, but then also the lack of talk about the alarming analytics on Daniels, who, if I picked third, I would take and never think twice about it if I was New England. Full stop. But while we're picking every single possible nit with Drake May, like, where is the conversation on some of these deep dive, very important numbers on Jaden Daniels as it pertains to sacks and throwing to the middle of the field and some normal predictors to the NFL? Like, it just seems like we haven't gotten there in the process yet, but we're already there with Drake May, which is odd. I guess, though, you do it in the SEC as a Heisman Trophy winner. The tape is as good as it's going to be for Jaden Daniels. Like, you got just all-time Hall of Fame college football performances where you're going for 500 yards and 6 touchdowns. It's a little bit easier for people to just go, you're going to be awesome. Chris is in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, I heard that Drake May is a gym rat, too. You know, high motor.
That's a good
that's
bit.
A good bit.
He's sneaky,
good
athletic, high motor. Yeah, exactly.
Good football IQ. Right. So, listen, this is what I have to say about J.J. McCarthy. Hell no. Okay? This is the hipsterest of hipster picks I've ever seen. He is like, J.J. McCarthy is like Nordstrom version of Tim Tebow. All right? Like, he's just Tim Tebow with better marketing and, you know, a better brand. Like, look, he might end up being Joe Montana.
Wait, workshop that comp for me. That makes no sense. What does he have in common with Tim Tebow?
Winning a national championship.
Okay, they were both successful in college. But, like, as prospects. Like, he doesn't have any of the limitations Tebow had.
No, but I'm saying just on paper, statistically, like, he did not lead the team into the championships, and he doesn't compare to the other quarterbacks statistically in terms of, you know, yard production, yardage, attempts, and so on. And I just think that picking him is the man, like NFL executives pretending they know something that others can't.
Well, so I think there's something to that, but let me ask you this really quickly, Chris, and I don't want to keep going too long on this, but quick follow-up. You're super analytical. I mean, you're talking a lot about, which is basically the main argument against McCarthy, his usage and basically what he did this past year. You'd acknowledge that's not really what the draft is. If that was the draft, you just take Daniels this year and everyone else after. Like, Caleb Williams wouldn't go ahead of Jaden Daniels. This is about forecasting, and this is about the physical tools and traits, right? I mean, who cares how he was used or how many times he threw this year?
If this was the NBA and you're drafting on, you know, NBA game as opposed to college production, I would agree with you. But I just think to have the leader of your team, the quarterback, you've got to have more sample size data to justify the number two overall pick. And he might be a great player, but you can't justify the pick. And if it goes wrong, it's going to be horribly wrong for Peters and company.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks,
let's go to Stefan in D.C. wants to hop in on Grant and Danny. What's up, Stefan? How are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing well. So I'm Team Daniels all the way. And so I've had to learn to take my bias out of this and not be disparaging to the other quarterbacks. And so just watching some of the game footage, watching some of the guys break down these guys like Chase Daniel, Kurt Warner. And the issue I just had with May is the inconsistency with his accuracy, with his footwork. What scares me off with him is that he's just a king-size Sam Howell. And I think that that's not him as per se, but I think just the learnings from the system they played at in North Carolina. Regarding Daniels, when it comes to some of the analytics that Grant quote, like just watching the footage, I don't see a lot of stuff. I see him passing over the middle. I see him going through reads where he's going through his third and fourth progression, hitting a guy doing a deep dig, doing deep routes across the middle. So you, when you watch their footage, you kind of see it. And just the what kind of makes me want Daniels over him is he's more accurate. And even when he makes a mistake off his accuracy, then later on in the game, you see him self-correct and make that play later on.
But when you see the numbers, to just go back to the point, that pressure to sack percentage sub 2.5 seconds in the pocket, you know, 27.9% Daniels, 26% Levis, 19% Pickett, 19% Williams, 19% May. I mean, the really high numbers, none of that bothers you.
Not from what I'm watching.
Okay. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, the numbers are there, but it, for whatever reason, I just think, and maybe he was so spectacular that you go, he'll figure the rest out, or the numbers don't matter as much because it's the SEC and he played some really good competition. It's Alabama, it's Auburn. You know, there's NFL players he's playing against. But that's kind of how the conversations go. It's like, here's some information. Yeah, but when I watch him, I like him. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
me too. He won the Heisman Trophy. He got an award for that. He was the best player in college football.
He did that.
Career sack EPA per pressure, right? You look at where he's at compared to others. You know, round one and two quarterbacks over the years, 2016 draft to right now, average under 5 yards per dropback, under pressure, and above 20% sack rate. It's Hackenberg, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Will Levis, Jaden Daniels. Like, there's alarming lists like that that he's on. And I'm taking him top three. I'm not trying to beat the guy up. But you don't hear this stuff. It's just like, he's amazing. By the way, Drake May might be ready in 2026. I just don't quite get that.
There's the math isn't mathing all the way on it.
Grant and Danny on the Fin. Let's talk about the hip drop tackle being ridded from the game. 15-yard penalty now. It'll be flagged. It's being banned. Kedrick Golston, the former Washington defensive tackle, will join us. If you guys are waiting, we will get to you on this Pelissero conversation on NFL Network today that he's hearing Washington and Peters.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Could be in on J.J. McCarthy. You're listening to The Fan. It's going to be a fun several weeks leading up to the NFL draft. Every day might bring a different storyline like today's NFL Network segment. Tom Pelissero says out in Orlando, the majority of the team execs he's talking to that are not in Washington think J.J. McCarthy could be the guy that Adam Peters and company tap with the second overall pick. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. Catch up with our guy, Kedrick Golston, who was the longtime, at one point, most tenured player in D.C. Defensive tackle, spent a decade with the then Redskins. Ked, it is good to catch up, my guy. How are you?
I'm well, Grant. And yourself?
Doing very well. Appreciate you joining
us. Always good, buddy.
On G&D. So why don't
Danny, you're there. I didn't know if you were here today.
Oh, that's a good bit. I am. I'm here. First of all, you can hear him laughing. He knows. Yeah. But you've seen it, Ked. No breaking news happened today, so it means I'm in.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's good to talk to you on Hip Drop Tackle Day.
Day.
It's Hip Drop Tackle's gone day. Day. What do you think, man? Getting rid of the hip drop tackle. Actually, you're allowed the hip drop tackle. You just can't swivel.
You can't swivel.
Hip drop tackle. What are they going to be able to officiate
this? It's funny because I feel like this is a tackling technique that they have been promoting for years in terms of like the rugby style, like hip drop rolls type tackle. So it's almost one of those things like unintended consequences of something that they have been promoting. My only issue with it is that when they put a rule like this in place, like how does it play out in the actual game? So if you're chasing a ball carrier from behind, how then do you get them on the ground with two grown men running full speed and stop yourself from rolling or turning, so on and so forth? So it's just one of those things where obviously we want to make the game as safe as possible, but at the end of the day, you cannot legislate injuries out of the game because then it in turn affects the product that we enjoy watching, if that makes sense.
What's that balancing act for you guys as players, Ked? Because as you talked about, everyone would love safety, but you also can't bubble wrap everybody. Where does that balance go for you that, you know, laced them up and played for so many years?
Well, I think, you know, for me, I think if we're going to talk about player safety, then we should eliminate all cut blocks in the line of scrimmage. I think we should start there. I think as a former defensive lineman, I'm selfish to say that if I'm going full speed and I know there's no more high-low blocks, on and so forth, but we should be able to play from the waist up because we protect quarterbacks, we protect defenseless receivers. But if I'm getting a cut block from an offensive lineman that I'm not lined up on or my attention is not focusing on, that puts me at danger. But at the same token, I feel like versus trying to regulate what we can't do, we should spend more time really focusing on how to tackle. And that sounds kind of crazy when we're talking about professional sports, but we also have to realize that the people in the NFL today have never done a two-a-day practice, have always been under the guidelines of kind of player safety and limited amount of contact. And I agree with all of that, but at the same token, in order to do something safely, you need to know how to do it correctly. And I think if we learn how to tackle correctly, it will eliminate some of the kind of unintended consequences of the hip drop tackle and the horse collar tackle, because in essence, in my mind, all these kind of freak injuries where people are getting rolled up from the back of the legs from tackling, so on and so forth, come from defenders being out of position and not knowing how to properly tackle because of not getting those reps in practice due for not having enough time or, you know, contact regulations in the CBA, so on and so forth. So I think if we spent more time trying to teach them how to tackle safely, we would eliminate some of these injuries that are happening from people rolling up on the back of players' legs.
Kedrick Golston on Grant and Danny. Do you know when you're doing it, if you're a defensive player, that you're doing a hip drop tackle? In other words, are you opting into that, and is there a way you could stop yourself and get a guy to the ground otherwise, to the point you made earlier about how am I tackling this person? Like, the game is so fast, it's so violent. Are you actively going, okay, I shouldn't do that, I should do this? Is that even possible?
I think obviously, you know, we've kind of seen from, you know, player safety where, you know, in the early 2000s, safeties would launch themselves up at defenseless receivers' heads. We've seen of defensive linemen breaking free and just diving at quarterback's knees. And so the adjustment will get made, but then to what effect on the product that we love, right? So I think about years ago, Vince Young and O.C. Yeminyura, where he had them wrapped up, and 9 times out of 10, the officials would have blew it dead, but they didn't blow it dead. Vince Young scrambled out and scored a touchdown. And so I don't really think it's an even playing field, because it just continuing to put more and more rules on what defenders can't do. And at the end of the day, this isn't the WWE, right? Like, we're not scripting this in the back saying, hey, I'm going to attack you like this on 3rd and 8, and you're going to get 9 yards, right, and then I'm going to stop you on 4th and 1. Like, these are world-class athletes making decisions in milliseconds. And to that point, now, as a defender, do I put my body in a bad position trying to protect the offensive player or the ball carrier's position? So it's just one of those things that sometimes you make a rule just to make a rule, and you realize that, is it really going to help players, or is it going to cause defenders to, you know, essentially playing with like one arm tied behind their back? Because it's just with the skill that's in this league, and, you know, Tyreek Hill, the elite receivers and running backs, like, it's hard enough to get these guys on the ground when everything's working perfectly. But to say I can't try to stop his forward momentum, then he's just going to continue to get more yards. If I'm trying to, as he's running full speed forward, I'm running full speed forward, we're just going to keep running forward when the object from a defensive standpoint is to stop yardage. So it's just one of those things where I understand the intent behind the rule. I just think, why continue to tweak on something when you cannot prevent injuries, right? So, like, I feel like the more they take away one thing, then the injuries are just going to pile up on something else, you know, if that makes sense.
No, it does. So, Ken, I wonder, just by point of comparison, because they keep comparing this to the horse collar tackle. That to me seemed, and what do I know? I'm just a pudgy dude that likes watching you guys on TV. But that seemed to me to be a much easier one to legislate, enforce, and figure out from a defender's perspective versus this one. What was the adjustment like for that penalty? Because that happened during your career, I believe, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that one kind of made sense because you were actually like sticking your hand into the back of the shoulder pads and pulling a ball carrier down. So that was kind of cut and dry, right? Like, you could pull on the jersey, you just couldn't lock your hand inside the shoulder pad. Whereas this is, well, I can drop my hip, but I can't roll. Well, what if, I think there's something called, and Danny, you went to some of those smart schools, inertia. Like, what does that look
good
like?
Use of inertia.
Good use of inertia, Ken, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, how does that work when we're both out of control? Or, you know what? What if the offensive player rolls on top of me? Is it considered a roll then? So, in a sport where we want to take the officials out of it to making, like, game-changing type calls, like, and don't get it twisted. Offensive coordinators are smart to say, hey, if you get in the open field and you're starting to get tackled, just try to get a couple rolls in and see if we can get a personal foul called. And they do that. It's no different than when the offense hasn't moved the ball all day. They chuck it deep and hope they can get a pass interference call.
Kid, we only got about a minute, but I'm just curious. I know you watch a lot of college football. Do you have a strong take on quarterback at number 2, whether it's Jaden Daniels, Drake May, or now J.J. McCarthy's entering the chat?
Well, I just remember kind of the first play of the Rose Bowl when J.J. McCarthy threw a pick it was like he was throwing it to the cornerback for Bama. And so, I mean, I know that's a small sample size, so I kind of – my thing is right, like, I don't want to hold it against him that he played for a physically dominating team in Michigan that could run the ball on anybody. But at the same token, Harbaugh was a quarterback guy, right? So this is a guy that coached Andrew Luck. So I feel like if this guy was that guy, he would have allowed him to be that guy in college, right? You don't have that type of quarterback on the sideline and not essentially let him show his talent. So for me, you know, I'm glad I'm not making that decision, but whoever they pick, they need to have a plan and understand what these guys are elite at and what they're not at, and you need to build a system around them to be successful. Because no matter who you are, I don't care where you get drafted at, young quarterbacks need a good running game and great defense, and you need to allow them to become the franchise guys that you hope they can be, but don't put the whole franchise on their back as a young quarterback.
Always good to catch up with you, buddy. Appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
All right, fellas. Have a good one.
See you, Kev.
Our guy.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Kedrick Golston on Grant and Danny. What did the new head coach, Gerard Mayo of the New England Patriots, say about what they're thinking at number three and what they think Washington's going to do? We'll tell you next on The Fan. As coy as the Commanders have been, just not a lot being said by their brass on what they plan on doing at number two. At number three, the Patriots have given a little bit more of an indication. Their head coach, Gerard Mayo, today, meeting at the AFC breakfast, was asked about his comments from yesterday. He said at the owners' meetings that they are open to trading the number three pick. Not that they would, but that they are willing to do that. I don't know what necessarily really to make of that. What else are you going to say? I mean, Adam Peters today said we have to keep our options open. We're going to answer the phone. Dan Quinn was asked by Pelissero about whether or not they might trade the number two pick. Do we have that Dan Quinn cut? We haven't played that today. He basically said he loves Adam Peters. He thinks he's going to do a great job picking the right quarterback, but also that they should listen to phone calls. So a lot of people made something out of what Mayo had said, that they may trade the pick. Well, no kidding. They may trade the pick. They have two options.
Sure.
Keep the pick and make a player choice, or trade it. And I think all he's doing is
naming those options.
He's not saying we are going to take a player at number three. You shouldn't. This was Dan Quinn on Washington with pick two.
Based on what you've done and trading away the guy who was the starter last year, is it fair to say at this point that you envision taking a quarterback at number two?
I would say it'd be fair to envision we'd be taking a quarterback. To say where it'll be happening, I think that's a better question for Adam. You know, as the next weeks unfold, there'll be a lot of discussion.
Speaking of trades, is the phone ringing on number two? And is Adam even allowed to answer it?
Yes, I would say it's ringing. And because, like you said, the talent of the group this year. And so I would anticipate him, you know, fielding these calls as it goes through. But, you know, it is part of the process, and you do have to do your due diligence to listen and find out, just to make sure, like, is there something that that you just couldn't refuse. I certainly walked past it in the hallway when I was with the Cowboys, you know, years ago, for a trade that involved Herschel Walker and many a draft picks and changed a lot of their organization. So I think anybody in personnel with the skill, Adam, they're going to listen, but there's only so many things that you would consider, and it had better be really good.
Was there any news there to you?
Let's see, this is where you get into the definition they're in.
He said that they're getting calls on the number two pick. Is that notable?
It's newsworthy when Dan Quinn said words. These are things we already were pretty confident in, right? But you get confirmation. So yes, it's newsworthy. Right? When, I don't have a great example, but when we think something is going to happen and all signs point to that, and then another person confirms it, it becomes news. So it's news because Dan Quinn said, yes, the phone's ringing off the hook, and yes, we're taking a quarterback. If you've been paying attention, those things are probably pretty obvious.
You know what else I took out of his answer there? They continue to beat the drums for the separation of Peters, the player picker, and Quinn, the coach.
That's a good point. You're right.
Dan Quinn wants it so known by everybody who hears any interview he does. It's not my pick, man. I'm not the one making the choice, guys. I just coach here. I just work here. And I don't think he's doing it to, like, take his name off the chopping block or anything. I think he is making it really clear this is Adam Peters' show. He's the GM. He picks the players. It's extremely refreshing. This is the most different that you could possibly be from where we were with the coach-centric nonsense in the Rivera era, where the coach was the GM, was the president, was the VP football ops, was the Marty Party, that whole charade that was just a joke. This is not even what's normal, where the coach and the GM kind of work hand-in-hand and the coach is probably heavily involved as like one of the top right-hand men, so to speak. I mean, Dan Quinn actively seems to want nothing to do with picking the players from what he says. Now, interestingly, they brought a bunch of guys in that he used to coach, but there's something to every chance he gets, he reminds people, Adam's job, my job's to get these guys to go out on the field and figure out a way to help them get better.
Yeah, I don't see it as a CYA in advance. I don't. That's usually reserved for the end when things aren't going well and it's someone else's fault. This is a, we're reminding you guys that we have the right structure. We have the correct way of doing business. And if it's someone from PR that told them to do it or otherwise, it is, you're right, 100% refreshing and fun to hear.
Next on Grant and Danny, we're giving away Caps tickets. They're coming down the stretch. They've got a chance to make the playoffs. They've only got 6 home games left. We got the good seats to one of those games. Plus, I want to get into Alex Ovechkin on an absolute heater and a pretty cool food item coming to Nationals Park. We'll see if Danny would try it. We'll do that next on The Fan. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats. You're going to win 2 tickets to see the Capitals Sunday, April 7th. They're playing the Ottawa Senators. Tickets are on sale now, and for tickets and more information, we're sending you to thefandc.com/events. These tickets all week long are courtesy of Monumental Sports. Your next chance to win comes your way tomorrow. This is the time of year you want these tickets, by the way. Stretch run for the Caps with 12 left, 6 at home, and they're fighting for a playoff spot. Kick off your future with the law firm of Condori and Murrah. They're the official G&D show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will, and your trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com. Mention the show to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Danny, what do you make of what's happening right now with Alex Ovechkin? He has scored in 5 straight games. He has scored 8 goals in those 5 games. In fact, he has scored at least 2 goals in 3 of his last 4 games. And he was named today the first star in the NHL for the week, thanks to 7 goals over the last 7 days. Number 2, Connor McDavid. Number 3, 60 goals this year, Austin Matthews. They're chasing down the 38-year-old Russian. The machine is not breaking.
It's not just, you know, on time, wind up, slap shots from his office. It's skating, stick handling on a break. It's got to clean up some garbage in front. It's, yeah, it is sometimes the slap shot from his office, but it's everything. Just the doubt him at your own peril, I guess, is the takeaway. For the millionth time over, tell yourself or tell him, hey, it's probably not going to happen, and then sit back and watch it happen. What a remarkable gift he is to this area. I mean, there's going to be a time, you touched on this. We were talking about the stadium stuff a couple days ago, and you made a point, it's right, but it was difficult for me to like think about that. Yeah, when they open the new arena, wherever that is, you know, Ovechkin won't be playing anymore, and Tom Wilson's the captain. I'm like, oh my God, that's true. Like, we should not take it for granted what this guy does on a nightly basis.
His first year in the NHL was my senior year of high school.
05-06?
05-06. Yeah. I graduated from high school in the spring of 06. His first season was my senior year of high school. I was 17. He has been in the National Hockey League scoring 20-plus goals every year, but generally speaking, 40 and 50 goals for the most part, 50-plus, for half of my life at this point. It's going to be so weird when he's gone. It's just the furniture for me. For several months a year, I go home, I sit down on the couch, I turn on a hockey game, and Alex Ovechkin probably scores. That's
there's a great chance of it.
That's how it goes. But I don't want to think about the end yet. We got two seasons left after this one. Here's the story, though. When you and I were talking about OV about 7 weeks ago, right before the All-Star break, and he was sitting in the single digits in goals at that time, Danny. I think he had 6 or 7 closing in on the break.
Mm-hmm.
50 games or whatever crazy, 40-some games into the season. The talk in town had been, he's not going to get the record. He's hit a wall. He can't score, or it's not the same. And we had just, I know several times it had come up where you and I said, when do we want to talk about this? He's really struggling. I said, let's give it another week. Let's give it another week. He's going to get it right. And finally, you and I just broke down and said, okay, we're going to talk about this on the show. This looks bad. He's in a place where he may not get the record. He's only got 2 seasons left after this one. If he only scores 14 or 15 goals this year, which I never thought was going to be the case. I always said he could get to 20. He's at 26 and has a chance to score 30, by the way. But if he only gets to, you know, 15 goals this year, then he's going to be close to 60 goals away. He's going to have 2 seasons left. He's going to have to score twice as many goals for 2 straight years to break the record. That math isn't working because you're assuming now he hit a wall at 38.
But he somehow gets back to a pace that
exactly.
He hasn't done.
He'll double that pace at 39 and at 40. So all of a sudden we're going, maybe it's not going to happen, when we were all just convinced it was a formality, it was a lock that this guy was going to chase down Gretzky. Now he goes on one of his OV heaters.
Yeah, he's got more goals this month than he did in October, November, December, and January combined.
He's got 18 goals in 24 games. This is basically 30% of a season. He's been playing at what is now a 60-goal pace. About over a quarter of a year, almost a third of a year at a 60-goal pace. He needs 46 goals from today, to catch Gretzky. That's it. 46 now. And he's got 2 years left on his deal, and he plans on playing both, he said. He was asked recently, it was actually back when people started to think he wasn't going to break it, would you come back for another season to get the record? And he essentially, he didn't say this, but he kind of inferred, probably not. Like, he wanted to play out these 2 years and then walk away. I think if he was 9 or 10 away, he would have come back and broke the record. But I don't think it's going to matter. My question right now is, and we'll see, I guess it's possible he could go the rest of the season and not score and be 46 away and then have a really slow first half next year, and we're back to having that same conversation. But right now, I'd say there's a better chance that he breaks the record next season than that he doesn't get the record at all.
Yeah.
Because hypothetically, that would mean he scores another in 12 games. Let's say he scores 4 more goals this year. He gets to 30 on the nose. Keeps his streak together, by the way, his record streak of 30-goal seasons, which would be cool. Now he's 42 away. I'm saying there's a better chance he scores 43 goals next year than that over 2 seasons
he doesn't get it at 42. All. Yeah, I'd buy that.
Wall could come at any moment. We thought he'd hit it, and he didn't. But at 38, he'll be 39 next season. I'm now every bit as confident as I was when the season started that he's going to pull this off.
We've circled back around. When we did December, and he had 50 shots on goal and only scored twice, I'm going, oh, no. Oh, no. Because early on in the season, as he's, you know, getting his sea legs underneath him, he didn't have that kind of shot volume. He wasn't quite Ovechkin, right? He wasn't Ovechkin doing Ovechkin things, which is finding a way to have just a nose for the goal, getting the opportunities, getting to the spots where you can get good, consistent opportunities. None of it was happening. He scored twice in October. As he got into the season, he was shooting more and more and more, and the shots just simply weren't going in. Whether it was robbery, whether it was bad luck, whether it was the wall, you just kind of go, hey, you've forgotten because of the standard that he set, how ridiculous all this is, but how bleeping hard it is. It is not unreasonable for a 38-year-old to have a goal pace that's less than he was at, say, 25, 26, 27 years old. That's not crazy. It's not the first time in history that's happened, and it's going to happen again. I'm telling you, this February-March run of 17 goals over 28 games. Again, I've run out of superlatives for the guy. I've run out of praise. It's beyond what should be possible, and he just does it so consistently. It's now just, this is yet another legendary Ovechkin run. Put it with the others. We got a big old storage room full of them.
It's happening. He's going to do it.
Yep.
What the great thing about this is, though, is he's carrying the team into the playoffs while he's doing this. We'll see if they make it. I mentioned 12 games to go, 6 at home, 6 on the road, 8 of them against playoff caliber teams. So it's going to be tough. But they're 1 point in right now over Detroit, who they play tomorrow night. If they beat the Red Wings tomorrow, they're going to be in a really good spot. Because they'll still have a game in hand over Detroit. 11 to go. That head-to-head win is effectively a 4-point game in a lot of ways. And they could still catch the Flyers if they get a little bit of help. They finished the season, by the way, with a game against Philly. How cool could that be?
Very.
Final game of the year, maybe. Playing your way in via the Metro Path as well. But it is fun to be at the arena again. No doubt about that. We've got the Ovi tracker here. I'm guessing Cakes and the Junkies must have been talking about it today. Because we've got the Alex Ovechkin goal tracking bobblehead.
Yes.
Updated to 848 sitting in front of me right now.
That is up to date and current, I believe, right?
Very much where it should be, yeah.
Do you want him to do it? Break the record?
Do I want him to?
Yeah. Do you think Ovi should, are you rooting for it?
Ooh, that's tough. Because the other choice would be that he doesn't
break the record. He doesn't get it.
And I've spent half of my life with him giving me so much joy. Yeah, I think I do.
I don't want to be controversial, but I'm rooting for it.
You want him to.
Yeah.
Speaking of controversy, Danny, would you eat the Screech Burger?
Tell me about it.
So today there was a big event over at Nats Park. I was supposed to go, and then I ended up botching it and couldn't make it. Got a little busy. Went and picked up my daughter from school. Her birthday's tomorrow. We did a little donuts with her class because she does the every other day school thing. In preschool?
Yeah.
But she won't be there for her actual birthday.
Gotcha.
The Screech Burger was one of the new food items that they unveiled on the big tour for the media. Oh, that's the worst, by the way. Danny's unfurling this like cough drop.
And it's all stuck together
like
with the wrapper.
It's been in his pocket since 1914. That's disgusting. You're like peeling it off, but there's so much paper on that cough drop.
I got to clear. Here, you can hear it. Goes in there now. But it was unpleasant. My fingers are so sticky.
But you didn't. I mean, there was
so much paper
on it.
Yeah, so much paper. It becomes part of the cough drop. Well, you want a quick story about paper? I know we're talking about food here.
I was actually hoping you were going to tell us a story about paper.
I ate half of the paper that covers individual slices of cheese. You know, when you like the sliced cheese in a deli pack, right? Sometimes between certain kinds of cheese, they put a little slice of paper so the cheese doesn't get stuck together. I was like, something's wrong with my sandwich. Turns out one of those papers was in there. I ate half of it before
I
discovered it. My sandwich that I ate for lunch today, about 1:15.
Oh, this was today.
Today. I ate half a piece of paper.
So wait, is this like the same kind of like wax paper?
Yeah.
You have frozen burgers?
It's the cheese separator. Exactly. It's the same cheese thing. Separator.
So a cheese divider for like an American cheese or something.
Something is off with it. Maybe it's just pepperoni I have on my sandwich. Like something is not that good. It's the paper. And I discovered it right at the end. I ate about half the sheet of paper.
You're having so much paper today.
I'm having a terrible day, paper-wise.
I mean, you just ate more paper with that cough drop.
Yeah, there's so many.
Oh, no.
So the big event over at Nats Park, though.
The Screech Burger, does it have paper on it?
So they bring the media over, and they show off, like, these are our new beers, these are our new restaurants and foods, and this is the stuff that fans are going to see when they come to the ballpark tomorrow. The Screech Burger. Here are the toppings for the Screech Burger, okay? Pimento cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Bacon jam.
Go on.
Here we go.
Thanks, Al.
Crispy fried onions.
Yes.
Ranch drizzle.
Mm-hmm.
Now available in the brew house after being available in the premium sections last year.
So the brew house. Good. The brew house is that's center field? The names of everything change all the time.
Yes,
that's
I
center
think
field.
So.
The red bird or the bird.
Red porch. Is
red
what
porch.
You're looking for.
Yeah.
But here's my problem. I'm pretty sure I'm out on pimento cheese, right?
No. You're a human being, so you like it.
Isn't pimento cheese like the kind of spicy Mexican liquid cheese?
No.
Are
it is
you
not.
Sure?
Yes, I am.
It's like nacho cheese.
No, it
it's
is not.
It's liquid.
No. It's not. It's a cheese spread.
What's in it?
I'm getting a good picture up for you here. You're basically talking
bread typically made of cheese, mayonnaise, and pimentos. What's a pimento?
It's like a little peppery kind of thing, but you're thinking pepper like spice.
Peppery.
But no, it's not like you think it is.
You said peppery.
It's not like you think it is.
It's the spicy cheese.
Not spicy.
I think I'm out on pimento cheese.
No. You're a human being.
Yeah.
So you like pimento cheese.
Here's what I need them to do. Do you think they do special orders for your guy over there?
Yeah.
A burger.
Uh-huh.
Topped with American cheese. Instead of bacon jam, let's just do bacon. I don't need the crispy fried onions, but I will accept them. And I'll take the ranch drizzle, even though I don't need that as well.
Mm.
So let's just do a plain bacon cheeseburger.
They've never done that anywhere before.
Ketchup, mustard, pickles, right on that son bitch.
Yeah. Here's what I want. How the chefs make it. Do that one. Do the one with the pimento cheese on there. That's what we need more pimento cheese.
How dare you?
Thank you, Phyllis.
I don't think I like pimento cheese.
You definitely do.
How can I figure this out if that's the one I hate?
Because you're thinking nacho cheese, like liquid cheese that goes on top of nachos, which is also great.
But the word here's how my brain works. The word pimento is I'm worried about that.
Yeah. Cease your worrying. I'm telling you. It's almost universal.
Do people put it on crackers?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I think I'm out.
No.
I love crackers. The bit I like to do is put a little cheese on a cracker.
Sure.
But it's got to be like an American cheese or a brie cheese.
Yeah, but there's so many other varieties. And
what if we did brie on this burger?
But that's great too.
Let's do that.
I welcome a brie on the burger.
Can we talk to the Nats about this?
Mm-hmm. If an item has pimento on it, the likelihood that this guy, putting it myself, gets it at the establishment goes way up.
You want some more expanded food offerings?
I do immediately.
Capital Mambo Station, section 140, including chicken or pulled pork nachos with mumbo sauce in a souvenir helmet.
This place is lit.
Let's go.
Interesting.
Come on. This place is lit, Charlie. Mumbo sauce?
Uh-huh.
Now, nachos, I don't love nachos. But if it's just chips with chicken or pulled pork and mumbo sauce, that's amazing. Seems like there's other stuff, though.
There's a bunch of other stuff.
I don't want the other stuff. House-made slaw, no.
Yes.
What else? Queso,
yes.
No.
More.
Pico de gallo, absolutely not.
More.
No, this is too Mexican-y.
Again.
I don't do Mexican food.
Right. That's a you issue, because the world does. You see what I'm saying? The rest of the world's like, yes to this.
Okay, here's another thing. I will never eat at Nats Park as long as I live. Listen, I could live to 1,000, won't eat this.
This is always a time for you, because unless they're like chicken tenders and fries, you're not getting it.
Well, I'm steamed up. You ready for this?
Sure.
This is a Danny Huje special.
Oh, here we go.
New.
Yep.
At La Pupusa Casateria.
Yes. Pupusas, brother.
Elote loco and a vegan soy chicharrón.
So that vegan word is vegan, by the way, is what you're looking for.
What'd I say?
You said vegan.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's tough. You hate to see that.
That is tough. I said vegan?
You said vegan.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Yep.
Well, you know what? They don't deserve to have that
a vegan. Yeah, I'm not getting the vegan
I'm
chicharrón.
I'm so not vegan that I didn't say the word correct.
Yeah, I'm not getting the vegan chicharrón.
You know why I said vegan? Because I've been trying to pronounce all these crazy words like elote and papusa and casateria. And so then I saw vegan and I said vegan.
Yeah.
I don't know why I did that.
Listen, I'll tell you that's tough.
Can you confirm that I said vegan, Darius? Can you go back and pull that out?
Darius, you were there.
Me? Darius is going to look for it.
Now, the
elote loco and a vegan soy. I was worried about this.
Vegan.
I was looking ahead. I was on the teleprompter like a president giving a State of the Union. Chicharrón.
Mm-hmm.
Papusa.
Now, that vegan chicharrón is not for me. That's a pass.
Are you sure?
100%. I don't do substitutes.
What about
of the
a
real
soy
thing.
Chicharrón?
Yeah, I'm not doing a soy chicharrón. I will do
Elote loco.
That I'm doing. You know what that is? That's delicious corn on the cob.
This is
street
steamed
corn. Yeah.
Mayo, mustard, ketchup, cheese, and salsa.
It is a tea and misguided.
I actually think I would pummel that.
You would love it. Like a real good elote situation.
But why
is fire.
Ketchup on corn on the cob?
It's part of a mixture. I promise you. You initially are going, I don't see it. I don't think so. You have to let this one happen.
I just don't want that on
there. Oh, it's so good, dude.
Erica's in Woodbridge. I think she's got some info on pimento. Hello, Erica.
Yep. Hey, Grant. So have you had an olive that has the little red thing inside of it?
Oh, I hate an olive.
So the little red thing inside the green olives, that's a pimento.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. So if I peel away the olive and I just get to the middle part, that's a pimento?
Yes.
Do you think I would like it? I think I would hate it.
Well, it's not spicy at all. So if the spicy is what scares you, then you might like it. I think you should try it. I'll give you a dollar.
Well, of course, like you should try it. Now, he can't do, I'm like, you're not in the room. Like,
I want to go back to the vegan.
This thing is not something you would just try. Like, I wouldn't sit there and just eat pimento peppers. I have, but I wouldn't just do that on purpose. As part of the larger mixture of pimento cheese, which is basically cheddar cheese, mayonnaise, and a little bit of pimento in there, it is delightful.
I just got a tweet. This is my guy, Luke Thomas, who's not only the best in the game when it comes to talking about hand-to-hand combat mixed martial arts, but just an all-around swell cat. He goes, Grant describing what he won't eat in his gringo Spanish is making me insane with rage. All right, so Garris found the audio. Let's see if I actually said veggies.
Listen.
At La Pupusa Casateria.
Yes. Pupusas, brother.
Elote loco and a veggie soy chicharrón.
So that veggie.
Oh, my God. But here's why I said it. Listen to all the other stuff I'm having to say. I'm trying
At La Pupusa Casateria.
Yes. Pupusas, brother.
Elote loco and a veggie soy.
Oh boy,
chicharrón.
So that veggie word is vegan, by those.
So here's something I might get down with. Okay, here's a little something, something. Eli's Crepes coming to Nats Park, section 113. This is near your boys. We're in 106,
right around the corner from us,
where we do our show. So we could eat some savory crepes for $12.99, or sweet crepes for $11.99.
Here we go.
Mediterranean has mushrooms, tomatoes, greens. Actually, I'm out. Mushrooms, tomatoes, greens, and cheese. I thought it was more of just a plain crepe, so I'm not in on any of that.
No cap.
Here's this for you, Danny.
Oh, God.
Song's Korean hot dogs in section 130.
Glizzy.
Maybe my favorite concession, according to Scott Allen, since the OG hard times. Scott Allen of the Washington Post says prices range from $9.50 to $12. Looks like this is a hot dog dipped in, I can't really tell.
Glizzy?
Deep fried hot dog on a stick with premium beef or premium spicy beef sausage? They just deep fry a hot dog and I'm supposed to be upset about that?
Glizzy.
It's
put a little powdered sugar on it?
I have heard tell that these are wondrous.
This sounds like the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Section 130, which is the opposite side of the yard from us.
I can go find it.
But we're gonna have to get our steps
mozzarella
in. Mozzarella
cheese stick, premium mozzarella stick inside deep fried breading. What the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
We're getting deep fried. I thought mozzarella sticks were, that's what they are.
They're
deep fried. So they're deep frying the deep fried stick. Plus we got the hot dog that's just being deep fried like a fried Oreo. A half mozzarella and half premium beef sausage stick inside deep fried breading. That's the mozz sausage stick?
That's the one.
Come on, man.
This looks remarkable.
So this, let's do this, me and you.
Okay.
We want to try it tomorrow for the Futures game? Are you coming to that?
We'll be able to get over there in time? Okay, we can get over there and then go do our show.
I'm going because James Wood's going to be there, so I'm going to be there. It's pretty simple. Ask me this. Is James Wood going to be there?
Is James Wood going to be there?
Yes.
Are you going to be there?
Then I'll be there.
I see.
That's how that goes. Potato mozz sausage hot dog, half mozzarella stick, half a sausage with diced potato. Let's go, section 130. God, that pummels all this other stuff. See, why don't you just fry stuff? Enough with all the, let's do this and have a bunch of things. Is there a hot dog and some fries and some chicken somewhere? Can we throw it in a fryer? What else is there? What do we need to do?
No cap.
No cap, Charlie.
New beers as well for people that are into that.
People want that.
I feel good about the Nats brand new.
I'm liking this.
Unveiling of some fried foods. What's your one seed?
It might be, unfortunately, with you and those deep fried hot dog situations, but I'd probably go the 1A. It might be that Screech Burger. Because again, if pimento cheese is involved, he's my James Wood. Pimento cheese might be my James Wood.
I mean, that'd be fair to say.
Thank you, Coach. You put pimento cheese in and around a dish, I'll be around there sniffing it out. Like, it's important to me. I love it.
I might have to just have a small amount of pimento cheese tonight to try to see if I like it in time to figure out if I could do a Screech Burger.
I smoked your cooking. So, like, if you went to a grocery store, there's pimento cheese dip. Very mild, very unoffensive. It won't overwhelm anything. You can just dip some chips right in there. Right in there.
In the grocery store, or should I buy them and take them home?
Probably have to buy it first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Condori and Murrah. They're the official Grant and Danny Show sponsor. They help protect your assets, update your will and trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com. Mention the show. Get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Tomorrow, we're on after the Futures game at Nats Park. We're going to be live on the wharf at the Brighton near their red carpet event. So if you're going to go to that, come a little early. Hang out with us. Watch the show. Or it's a beautiful day. Just don't work. Just come on over and have lunch and kick it with us as the game's winding down over at Nats Park. We're fun. We're cool. We don't talk about being vegans. We like food. We like meat.
We're big vegans.
Danny had to go vegan for a week one time when he lost a bet. That's the only time he's ever been vegan, I think.
It was that was actually gluten-free, was that bet.
Very different, yeah.
Yeah, I've never been vegan.
For Danny Huhey, I'm Grant saying so long. Thanks to Darius and Money Metal Chris filling in for Ryan today. We appreciate you. Linnell has overtime coming your way next. And a vegan soy.
Thank you for coming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.